Now you actually will have a chance to speak.
I'm going to forget. I'm not speaking without a pop. So I'm really going to
forget. Sure you do.
Listen, I'm acting for No, for real, I'm really acting. Sherrod knows me. Adam knows me. I don't know. I've seen Quiet Rage. I've seen y'all. I'm with y'all. And it knows me. A lot of my poetry is Philadelphia beats. In the city. Dope fiends, crackheads, niggas on blocks. I use bees, curse a whole lot. A lot of places I go to, Caucasian people, y'all don't get it. And I try to present it in a way that everybody gets it. And it's very difficult for me to express myself because the reality that I live in is very hard. A lot of it is very detrimental. So when I present it all the time, it's not always received how I want it received. Because the reality of it is so hard. I have a son. I need him to understand that the streets are not the place you need to go to. I try to make it as visually impossible for you not want to go to these places. Because I don't want you to go to these places. So for you not to get it, it hurts sometimes, but I understand that you're not going to. Because some things you don't want to see. I have Caucasian friends that I'm my best friend. I do my poetry and they're like, yo, gee, I ain't trying to hear that. Because it's something that you don't always want to see. I love the fact that everybody on the panel has reached out to us people in the communities. But it's very, very hard for you to leave your base community and go somewhere else with your poetry and then be received the same way that it is in your base. The Asian trade thing, I know about that. I know about worldly thing. I studied that. I know how that affects the world. Because I had a mom who was a poet. I had a dad who was a rehab nurse who was in the streets. So a lot of my angles are all different. So that's why it's so difficult as a poet to reach out to other people. Because it's not always going to be received how you wrote it. How people who live in that environment, they receive it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very difficult for me to get you to understand, like, his mom's on crack. And in order for him to have his mom not go prostitute, he had to sell crack. Right. So when I get you to see it, you'd be like, yo, that hurts too much. I don't want to see it. So it's very, very difficult in Philadelphia. It's very difficult in this city itself to leave your base and go someplace else because your poetry is so much from your heart. It's so much expressed from the things that you see that you want everybody to understand. And it hurts you when they don't. Mm-hmm. I go to Sherrod's thing all the time. I always leave upset. I always even want to, I walk home from Germantown and Mount Avenue to Vernon and Williams and cry. Because my poetry is not received how it was supposed to be. Because it hurts. It hurts to hear somebody who have hoop dreams and they get caught up and crack and then they go to jail. It hurts to see that. But that's what, I lost.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay. Keep rolling. Deborah.
So the question is.
I forgot what it was. Oh yeah, okay. Why did you decide to create spaces for poets?
I think I decided to create a space for poetry in Philadelphia or try to organize a community of people because I think it's very difficult to have things happen in a vacuum. I think it's very difficult for one person to take initiative and do things and try to create something, try to make change, try to carry on a vision. I think that in order to carry on a vision, you need to, you need everybody. You need to get people together who share the vision or at least want to contribute to helping the vision occur. And so I think that there is often the myth of the poet as being someone who is isolated, who stays in their home and writes by the firelight and, you know, ends up killing themselves by the time they're my age or something. And I think that community building is one way to avoid that nightmare for a person, you know, for highly sensitive people who are highly sensitive to language and might have a hard time after, you know, as they grow older, trying to continue to integrate poetry into their lifestyles. I think that community and being around others who share the vision of poetry makes it possible to continue to integrate poetry into their lifestyles without burning out or forgetting about it or moving on or growing mundane in their lives.
Cool. Thanks. Let
me see. The reason why I'm creating the Fuse is basically to give. I felt that Philadelphia had a voice that needed to be heard on a national level. Poetry Slam Incorporated, their events are national events. It's the quickest way and people might disagree and agree with me, it's the quickest way to get yourself as a spoken word artist on a national stage where a lot of different types of people can hear you, a lot of different types of poets. But I think people confuse slam. Well, one, let me say this. I love slam. I love competition. I love the fact that it's competition and poetry put together. I just love it. That's just my personality. I'm a competitive person. But in slam, people confuse the thing, oh, people just diehard competitors. When you go to the national competition, it is like going to a family reunion most of the time. So most of the people, you get to see people you haven't seen in a year, maybe the last event, you talk, you room together, y'all eat peace together, y'all do whatever together. It's fun. I don't go to sleep until like 6 o'clock in the morning. Because it's a fun environment. You're around people who love to do what you do. One. Two, opportunity to grow. I wanted people to grow when they came to the venue that I helped create. I don't like saying I created it, because I feel like just helped it. People helped. People made it grow. So when I helped to make it what it was, I decided that I wanted people to do any type of poetry they felt comfortable doing. Now in that, the connection comes in where you have to sell your poetry. You sell it. Now the idea is not to sell what you think, the idea is to sell what you see. And I think sometimes as poets we want people to see it the way we see it. No, we want people to hear what you have to say. And they're going to receive it whatever way they want to receive it. That's just in anything. People see art like that, whether it's visual art, whether they see different things all the time. The idea is you gave something that did not have a voice, or had a very somber voice, or a very hard to hear voice. You now give this a voice. That is the only job you have as a poet. What I wanted to do with the fuse and help you to develop that talent so your voice can get louder, that voice can be louder and louder and louder. Whatever you're saying, whatever that you need people to see can be louder. However they hear it, that's not up to you. I have a poem called I'm Not a Racist. And it's like, that poem's not about me, see, because I have black, I mean colored, I mean Negro associates, so I associate with in my corporate office. Some people might be offended by that. White people might be offended. You don't know what I'm talking about, but the thing is, hits you in a different way than when it hits me. It's just poetry. This is the nature of the beast. But also, I create the fuse to create connection with different people. The demographics of the fuse, the age ranges from like 16 to 54. It may be over. Yeah, way over. It's so extremely diverse that you can't really put a tag on it. That's another thing I'm going to create. From any demographic of the teams, the people who are represented in individual competitions, I wanted to create a community where every voice was heard. For better or for worse, every voice was heard. And this open mic or spoken word, every voice was heard. So that's what counts to me. And developing that voice so it can be loud and not necessarily authority, but loud and heard. And loud and not necessarily understood, but loud and heard. So that's my creative views.